Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.
For the third week in a row, we're taking a look at this crisis and our place in this crisis, even as we continue our observance of the season of Lent. A crisis is a turning point, a decisive moment, an emotionally significant event that introduces radical change. And that is certainly where we find ourselves. We're left feeling confused, concerned, anxious, upset, isolated, alone, bewildered, bored. But beyond feelings is a fact. The crisis presents a choice. The crisis demands a choice on our part. We will go through it, and eventually it will come to an end. We have no choice about that. Our choice is what we will be on the other side of this crisis. We might not be able to control that in terms of our finances, our schedules, our job, but it is completely our choice when it comes to our character and our core. Will we be weaker or stronger, emotionally frail or robust? And so, last week, we talked about some foundational ways to use this time for our own good and in line with God's will. First suggestion was all about making a schedule for how you're going to use this time during the quarantine. It's a question of creating a normal for yourself in the new normal. What is your normal in the new normal? Second suggestion is stay connected. This is obviously true for people like me who live alone, but also true for everyone to some degree or another. Stay connected to friends and family, responsible and helpful social media, and of course, your small group. Whoever you are, you can join our growing small group community because they're all online. In fact, just this past week, our small group community grew at a faster rate than at any other time since we launched small groups. Third, and most importantly, personal prayer. There's a temptation for us to want to know everything that will happen in the days ahead. We want God to download the whole plan about what we should do now and what we should do next. But that's not how life works, and it's not how God works. We need to come to Him consistently and continually throughout the day, each day. God is still in control. His will for you is good, not evil. And if you are turning to Him in prayer consistently and continually throughout the day, each day, you will gain insight into the way forward for your own good. And he is working this situation so that you can be a blessing for others. You can be light for others in this dark time. And if you'd like to know how you can be light to others in this darkness, there are lots of ways to help right here in our parish. If you'd like to help out, we can use your help. And if you need help, we'd like to help you. Just go to our website, churchnativity.com. Look for the COVID-19 tile, where you'll find lots of opportunities to both give help or get help. Check it out. Well, today we are going to look at the number one feeling that we're feeling these days. The number one feeling we're all feeling. It's loss. Loss. Loss of our routine. Loss of mobility. Loss of security and peace of mind. Loss of human interaction, fellowship, and friendship. Loss of hopes and dreams. Loss of income. Loss of confidence. Loss of control. And now, loss of life. All of us are experiencing loss during this time. Some are feeling it in an acute way. It's interesting that loss is a part of the human experience. At one point or another, there is loss for all of us. But this is a collective experience of loss. And that's what's so different about the experience of this crisis. We're all experiencing loss. And the question becomes what to do with that feeling. What to do with that feeling. Scripture actually teaches us exactly what to do and what steps we should be taking. It's a lesson Scripture teaches over and over again, perhaps nowhere more clearly than in the story we're going to briefly look at today from the Gospel of John. And the story goes like this. The sisters of Lazarus sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." The sisters of Lazarus were Martha and Mary. They send word to Jesus through a messenger that his close friend, their brother, Lazarus, is sick. Basically, they're begging Jesus to save their brother. He responds in a somewhat detached, though largely positive, kind of way. Lazarus is going to be okay, and God is going to be glorified through this situation. The illness will be used for God's glory. You know, God never wastes a difficult situation. He uses emergencies and even crises like this crisis in different ways and lots of ways for his purpose, for his plan, for his ends, but most of all, for his glory. Why does God want glory? Well, when we're glorifying God, when we give God the glory, we grow. We grow in goodness and grace. We grow in character. We grow in his likeness. And that's what he wants for us most of all. The story goes on. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Wait, what? What? When he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Those two sentences don't belong together. They don't make any sense. He loved Lazarus and his whole family very much. He hears that they're in trouble, and he does nothing. He remained for 2 days in the place where he was. He doesn't go to them. He doesn't send word to them. He doesn't lift a finger to help them out. He seems indifferent to their concerns. But as we'll see, he was not. So what is this all about? Well, actually, I'm willing to bet this is not an experience that is unfamiliar to you at all. You ask God for something and then nothing happens. Why? I don't know. I don't know. I do know that God's timing is not our timing. What feels like delay for us is, well, something else for God. Maybe it's preparation. Maybe it's education. Maybe it's a realignment of our plans with his plans. Or maybe, as was the case here, the apparent delay is anticipatory of something really big God is going to do next. Well, after 2 days, he finally goes to his friends where he meets Martha. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus was already in the tomb 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. People handle loss in different ways. Martha goes out to meet Jesus. Mary stays at home. As we know from elsewhere in Scripture, Martha was a take charge, get things done kind of person. Mary was more reflective. Some people handle loss by getting busy, staying active. Other people withdraw. Mary stays home. Martha confronts Jesus, and she's direct and immediate. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." She's direct and immediate with Jesus. The man in whom she had placed all her hope had let her down. She expresses her grief in anger. Did you know that you can get angry with God? It's true. He can take it. He can handle it. One time, after receiving a crushing disappointment, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton waved her fist at heaven, shouting, "If this is how you treat your friends, it's no wonder you have so few of them." Sometimes we might want to criticize God. Criticizing God to others, not good. In fact, it's blasphemy. But criticizing God to God, that's prayer. If you feel angry with God about this whole mess, go ahead and let him know it. You might be thinking that God could have prevented this situation. God could have stepped in, and now he's letting you down. If you feel like that, tell him. Go ahead and yell if you want to. There's nobody around to hear you anyway. But do it in the context that Martha did it in. Take a look. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but even now I know. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." If you feel God has let you down, tell him. But do it in the context that Martha did it. Do it in the context of faith. Ironic. We don't express our disappointment with God to God because, I don't know, we're afraid that it will hurt our relationship with him. But time after time, Scripture teaches us otherwise. Time after time, Scripture shows that it repairs and restores and renews the relationship. Moses, David, all the heroes of the Bible told God exactly how they felt. Just like telling friends and family how you really feel when you feel bad or sad is the best way to move the relationship forward. That's what happens here. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." So the Jewish people believed in the resurrection of the dead, but it was in an unspecified kind of way, in an unspecified time to come. And that's what Martha is referring to, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's entirely specific. Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." It's not a question of if there is or isn't a resurrection. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. He is the life. We may suffer setbacks, but they're only temporary. We may have failures, but they are not final. Even crisis will eventually come to an end. Your hurts and hang-ups, your loss and setbacks during this time of loss come in the context of Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. That's not the question. The question is, do you believe this? Do you believe this? The more we ground ourselves in the truth of Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead, the more we're going to be helping ourselves and one another through this crisis. Here's Martha's answer. Take a look. "Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." In the face of the loss of what is most dear to her, she has faith. She gives expression to her faith. And her answer, her faith, serves as prelude to the miracle Jesus intends to bring precisely out of her loss. Jesus came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then, after this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out. Martha brings her loss to the Lord in faith. And because of her faith, she's able to experience a miracle. Now, I recognize if you're joining us for the first time, as many are these days, or for the first time in a long time, if you're not really a church person, you may be skeptical about miracles. That's okay. I respect that. Go ahead and be skeptical. But don't miss out on the insight that this episode is providing. We all experience loss. It's part of the human experience. If we accept loss in a vacuum, as a fact in itself with no other context, then all we have is loss. And that's no way to live. If we experience loss in the context of faith, then we open ourselves up. We open ourselves up to goodness and grace that God wants to share with us in and through our loss. That's the reliable pattern which Scripture demonstrates to us over and over again. It's simply how God works. Do I honestly believe that God is going to instantly remove the plague of this virus from our midst and restore everything to exactly the way it was before the crisis? Honestly, I don't. Do I honestly believe that God can and will accomplish good and great things through and beyond this crisis? Absolutely, I do. When we accept our loss in faith. This crisis has our attention, that's for sure, as it must, as it will. And it could be reaching a new, a more critical stage in the coming week. We just don't know. But if we keep our attention focused only on what we don't have and what we've lost, we'll be missing out on what God is doing. Don't waste a crisis. It's also an opportunity.
I feel silly trying to make up prayers myself. My mind starts to wander as I'm speaking to God. I just don't have time to pray. Do you recognize yourself in any of these statements? If so, we have a book for you. In Pray Fully, best-selling authors Michelle Fanley and Emily Jaminet share the rewards and frustrations of their own prayer journeys to create a practical guide that combines testimonies, tips, and journaling space to help you spend quality time with God. Whether you want to learn how to pray aloud in a group or stop your mind from wandering during prayer, Fanley and Jaminet have practical advice and the real-life experience to help you overcome obstacles to everyday prayer. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LEARN2PRAY, that's LEARN, the number 2, PRAY, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.